Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and King Group of Companies, including Cool Runnings Ice, Color Me Agency, and Retro Games 242.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us each week for the nation's most vital conversations, where insight meets impact. Today, I'm once again joined by my wife and co-host, Dr. Paige Burrows, as we continue our Couples and Purpose mini-series. In this episode, we sit down with a couple who truly exemplifies purpose in motion, Dr. Don DeVoe and his wife, Christy DeVoe, founders and leadership team behind Oak Tree Medical Center. Their story is one of faith, vision, and resilience, from life abroad to building a healthcare institution at home in the Bahamas, from walking through serious challenges to raising four young children while serving their church and community. This is a heartfelt and powerful conversation about partnership, legacy, and building something greater than yourselves together. Let's get into it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Dawn, this is your second time on the show. Christy, this is your first time on the show. So this is exciting for us. We know a little bit about your story, obviously, from knowing you guys both in the personal and professional sense. But obviously, not all of that story has been told. Some of it has in different spaces, maybe bits and pieces, as you've spoken in different environments, different areas. But as we thought about doing this Couples and Purpose series, you were one of the couples that immediately came to mind. Like, we should sit down with them and kind of talk through them about this journey, because obviously, you know, with four young children, with a growing health system that you guys have been in for the last seven, I think going on 8 years, and all the ups and downs that comes with that, living away for a while, it's been quite the journey, I imagine, to get to this point. So we're excited to kind of talk through that with you, and let the people kind of hear a little bit about your story and perhaps find some inspiration along the way. And that's a part of this series, is the idea of having people hear these stories and be like, you know what, we can do that as a couple to inspire, because the world is changing. We find a lot of people who are getting interested in doing their own things, starting their own businesses, and you know what that looks like working together, especially in an industry as crazy as healthcare. So we are happy to have you guys on. So let's go back to the beginning. How did you guys meet? Shameless sack plug. I initially drew you to each other. Sorry, we continue to do this.
So it was a really funny story, actually. Mm-hmm. We knew each other, obviously, from SAC. We both attended in high school, but we didn't really know each other, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of in passing. And so it was funny. I was riding along Blue Hill Road, one day, and it was MSN Messenger at the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this was back then.
You are dating all of us.
So I get home, and he's like, hey, was that you on Blue Hill Road today? And I was like, yes, stalker. And he, like, we just kind of small talked a bit, and he was like, hey, can I come to church with you? And I was like, okay, random, because you know, I used to put all of these Christian quotes on my status, etc. So I was like, weird in my head, but okay, fine, a soul for Christ, I'll do it. So he came to church, we went to kind of lunch after, and I was like, okay, I like this guy, he's different, I don't really know his situation, but let's explore, let's see what happens. And so the funny part of the whole story is, after a few months, we went to Subway. I remember this day so clearly. We're so methodical and logical in the way we think about stuff. So we sat at the table in Subway, and we were both like, I like your stats. You like my stats. Let's do this. You know, what you're into, I like. Mm-hmm. What I'm into, you like. Let's give this a shot. Let's make this happen. And we literally decided in Subway we would date, and then eventually got married.
I think she said it all there. And like I said, I was literally sitting down at the water depot that I had owned at the time. Mm-hmm. And I saw the short pass, and like she says, MSN Messenger. And so for me, like I said, I'm pretty practical. I see she was into churchy stuff. Mm-hmm. So let me get into churchy stuff.
Yes.
And so you have to be careful who you choose, and you have to be careful what you put out there, mm-hmm. especially, as I would say, for young women, what you put out there, that's what you're going to get back. Yeah. And so at that particular point in time, I was not saved, mm. But I knew what she was about, and I said, hey, why not? And so I literally invited myself to church, and the rest is history.
Which is another point I want to talk about, you know, because it was really a challenge for me in the beginning, because I was like, God, I mean, what about this unequally yoked thing? What about, you know, because I really struggled with, but he's really not what I thought you would want for me, considering where I'm at in my Christian walk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so our journey was a little different because I was kind of the stronger one at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit challenging because I was like, oh God, I don't really know if this would you have for me.
Right.
And so as I wrestled with the whole thing, there was a point in time where I got a piece about it, mm-hmm. you know, and a piece that said, it's okay. I'm with this one. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to really give myself to him despite my intellectual reserves about it, you know?
It's so funny because when we first started to become friends, it was actually kind of similar. Like, we grew up in the same church. We knew of each other. But she was heavily involved in youth ministry at the time.
Right.
And there was, I think, a Christmas party that they were having. So, like, my cousin CJ invited me. A lot of people invited me. And she put me down. She's like, hey, because we had started to talk a little bit. It's a funny story, but I don't think I have the liberty to tell. but we were friends because she was, at the time, someone that I was friends with was interested in her. But anyway, long story short, she invited me as well. And that was kind of where the friendship started to flourish. And eventually, you know, kind of a similar thing. We decided that we were both interested in one another and we should pursue it. And it's funny how it was kind of the same thing.
A methodical decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We decided, hey, let's pursue it.
Hey, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And so today now, like I said, I was a baby in the faith, a fledgling. And so through faith, she actually, and obedience, I am now, the student has now become the master.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find myself now encouraging her in so many different ways, shapes, and form. And it also gave me leeway to now be the head of the home, not just financially and provider wise, but spiritually. And I think that makes a big difference.
Yes. And I think that's what the true sense of a helpmate is.
Yes.
You know, we help them through even the process of themselves, finding themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it was me giving him little tips here and there, and not in an overbearing way, but in a encouraging way. Mm-hmm. Like, babe, I don't really think that that's how Jesus would want us to do that. Or, you know what I mean? Just finding ways to encourage him into the place where I know God had for him, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of how we did that at the beginning. Yeah.
Step into his role. So speaking about the beginning, what were those early years like? So you guys got together and you found each other. We're past the water depot. We're past the wedding. And you guys are building this new life together. Dr. DeVoe, you were still training in your fellowship at this time. Take us back to where you were professionally during this particular time.
So I would just take it a step back and I would say, I think God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because if I had met Christy in the capacity that I did when I was in medical school, I don't think we would have done a workout. And it was nothing against her or any person for that matter. I knew what I was about from a school standpoint, and I knew my financial situation, and I particularly didn't have time to waste. And I know, and so I was just focused on school.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, not light, not right, not left, focus on school, focus on the goal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of only got to sort of knew each other after I finished medical school. And so we had some challenges with the internship in terms of when she'd had to come visit me at PMH sometimes and having to wait in the car for an extended period of time when I thought I was gonna be able to maneuver quickly. But
life,
at least medical life, doesn't happen as such.
So,
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Afterwards, like I say, when we realized we were sort of serious about where we were heading, I had, like I said, completed internship and then That's when we went off. That's when I went off to State University in New York to do my internal medicine. My internal medicine residency. Mm-hmm. And it was during that time we realized we really wanted to be together.
Right.
We realized it's the only thing that makes sense. The long distance relationship when you love somebody is a pretty hard thing to do. And so what we decided to do was we had waited until I was going into my third year. I was finishing up my second year in residency, and that's when we got married. Mm-hmm. And we stayed away from each other for a year, and I was in New York. I was finishing up my last year in residency, and it was pretty hard. But when you know you have someone committed to the cause on both sides of the table, it makes a big difference, because what she was doing while I was financially weak at that time, she was strengthening us. From a residency standpoint, but saving up for our first, that'll be our first at our apartments, our condo.
Yeah.
And so it was, she stayed here to hold it down for that 1 year. And apart from doing that, she just didn't like New York either. It just wasn't for her. No. And I agree, because it's literally a concrete jungle.
Yeah.
And I personally couldn't wait to get out of there as well, because I remember the cold, snowy nights when I'd be waiting in the bus stop, 12 midnight. I just say, I want to go home.
Not for me.
I miss my boo. Yeah. And so when I finished residency and we went off to Emory, that's when she came over in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just as an encouragement to women, you know, sometimes we have this mindset that, oh, I'm going to get this man, he's going to take care of me, he's going to do all of these things. But, you know, early on when we met, he wasn't established yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I was kind of the one that had money in the bank. I was the one that was able to put the down payment on our first condo. I was the one that pretty much, like he said, did everything financially for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel any kind of way about that. You know what I mean? Because if we are a team, then we are a team. It's ours. It's ours. It's not mine. It's not. And so we established even before our marriage, and this is something, you know, I encourage people to seriously think about before they get into a marriage. We decided, it was a fight, but we decided that we would have joint accounts.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have, I don't have a separate account. He doesn't have a separate account. All of our accounts are joint accounts. And so what it did was it established that we don't have any out. There's no, it's our money, it's our decision, and we're forced to agree and be in unity on everything that we do together. And so I don't have anything to fall back on, and he doesn't have anything to fall back on.
Yeah.
And so we are fully committed.
Yeah, that's gonna sound like psychopathy to some people who listen to this. Because it's just so much of how the world has twisted what marriage and relationships look like and what the expectations are. So I imagine for a lot of people that's going to look quite strange and sound quite strange. It's funny though, like going back to what you were saying, like I remember sitting in that parking lot down from the bridge between
dialysis
and yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, I'd be ready at 6 o'clock and it's 7 o'clock and I closed off because I watched the one episode of the show that I had downloaded on my phone.
Exactly.
I know.
You know how it is.
I know those moments. But we also know long distance very well. The majority of our relationship actually was long distance because when we were in undergrad, we were apart for, I think, 3 of the 4 years between us being in Canada and then doing medical school in UWE, in Trinidad, so we have a lot of that. And you're right, it is about being committed to the goal, right?
Yeah.
I also think that I don't know if we weren't already married, I don't know how we would have survived that end of medical school, the clinical years, into internship, because that's tough if you're not already like in it and established, because that is a rough road to walk.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like from Jump Street, you guys both know that you wanted to come back. But what led you back home? Because, you know, you said you both grew up in, I think, Atlanta and Emory, right?
Yeah.
So what was kind of the draw to say, you want to come back home and there's more to do here? What led you down that path?
So one important message that Christy said just earlier, and we want to encourage those who are thinking about getting married, mm-hmm. we always have this concept of we must have it all together first mm-hmm. before we make that next step. It is when you know you're committed to that person and when you focus on that common goal, it literally meshes, you become one. And it just makes the whole process of growth as a couple so much more meaningful. Mm-hmm. And so I call it a scapegoat when people want to say, hey, I have to get it all together first before I make this next step. No, you get it together, together, mm-hmm. and it comes together.
Yeah, so much of marriage is growth together. I think one of the important lessons we learned when we first started dating, the youth leader in the church at the time, Darnell, always used to tell us, you know, love is a decision.
Yes.
Right? There's so much that we see in media, in songs, on TV, in movies. It says, oh, it's emotion, and you fall deeply and madly in love. And it's like, that is a lot of times infatuation. What lasts, and we see it because we see so many marriages that end up, you know, kind of dissolving, especially in recent times. But when you look at love, especially when you're saying we're going to get married and become one, that is a decision. That is a decision to, as your vows say, you know, through sickness and health, rich or poor, till death do us part. Like, all of those things matter, because if you're doing that off of the women fancy of emotion, that's not going to last. You're not going to stick to a vow that is, well, I feel butterflies today, and then tomorrow I just feel like I'm going to slap this person across the room, which is how emotions can go. Mm-hmm. But that decision for love is, you know, let's sit down and let's talk through what our difficulties are. Let's kind of examine ourselves. Like, even for me, I've had to do a lot of self-examination, especially in the last few years, because there's a lot of things that I learned through, you know, tragic experiences that we went through as a family, like the loss of my parents, things like that. There's a lot of things that bubble to the surface mm-hmm. that I didn't understand about myself. Now, granted, my wife, who is very good at reading people, kind of saw some of the things, but she's been such a great help in me trying to walk through that. But I imagine if we hadn't been going through this based on a decision, it would have been very easy for her to be like, emotionally, I can't take this and I need out because this is not working. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And so even in things like that, you know, you see where the difference between following the women fancy of emotion versus I made a decision to love this person. And with God's help, especially because, you know, outside of God's help, then it's the same thing. But with God's help, I can walk through this journey with them. And that's kind of, that's why that's so important. So I think one of the core things that I think people should take away from this when you think about the love and marriage thing is, you have to look at it as I'm making a decision. A sober-minded, thoughtful, I went and thought and prayed and gave all of that to God and then made a decision.
Yes.
And so my premarital, I would say 5 F's, would be, yeah.
Mr. Acronym.
I know. Faith. You have to put your family. Mm-hmm. Then finances. Finances is a very important thing. Friends. And then fun. Mm-hmm. And it goes in that order if you want to make sense of things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I guess for me, let's go back to what made us come home. I think, and this is a shared goal that we've always had. You know, I love this place. I love the Bahamas. We have our challenges. We have things that we don't do well, but we have things that we do mm-hmm. great. And so the desire was always to come to make a difference here. Mm-hmm. We always felt led to do that. It was something that was planted in our hearts from before we even got married. Mm-hmm. It was a separate goal, and then it became a joint goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think it was an easy decision. I mean, it was a given, really. It wasn't even a decision. It was, yeah, we coming home. Okay. Yeah.
You finish your, complete your purpose there?
Yes.
You come back to your purpose here?
Exactly.
Right. And so for us, like you say, it was a share. It was both individually and shared. And so for us, for me in particular, I got so much from the village called the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And we say time and time again, the young beautiful lady from Clarence Street and the young boy from Golden Gates, like the community has invested so much into us.
Yes.
Starting from high school, friends and families alike. And so I couldn't see us being anywhere else but yeah. here. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, people call the Bahamas a gold mine. I call it a platinum mine. Mm-hmm. Because it's just so rich in resources, not physical resources, but when I grew up or where I grew up, finances may not have been the main thing, but love was always there.
Yes.
And I think the love and support, and that's what's lacking in today's society. We see the level of, I would call, social and spiritual decadence. And it's because we've sort of strayed away from our foundation, our roots. We were a big community.
Yeah.
And that's being lost. And so the key thing about coming back home is to help strengthen the community at large.
Yes.
To strengthen the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that brings us to a really, really good place in this discussion, talking about strengthening the community. Oaktree has been a pillar in the community. We've grown to see Oaktree everywhere, from the swimming complex to, you know, certain health fairs to women's walks. Oaktree has become synonymous with community, and that's what you came back home to do. So tell us exactly what inspired your shared vision to create Oaktree Medical Center. How did that whole thing come about out of this love story that started in the Bahamas by the Water Depot that ended up in half in New York City, half in Nassau, to launching this this community-oriented organization? How did this start?
Well, it was really only God. The funny part of the whole story is when we were first coming back home, Don was like, I am not doing a medical complex. I'm just not. We were into all kinds of other stuff. We were going to do an agribusiness. We were going to do all these. I'm like, the doctor wants to do an agribusiness. What? How ironic. And so our first thing was, we're not doing a medical complex. And so we started off with his little small office, because obviously you're a nephrologist, you have to see patients. Mm-hmm. And so I was fine with that. I was working at the time. And he came to me and he was like, I think we have to do this thing. And I was like, what? But you said you didn't want a medical complex. Like, how are we here? Like, what are we doing?
How did we get here?
And so I was pregnant at the time, and I had left my other job. And so I was available. I was like, okay. So my strong side is administration. His strong side is medicine. And so putting us two together, it made sense. I could handle this side. Mm-hmm. And he handled the other side. And as we grew, it was funny because people were like, oh, I want to talk to your HR. And they were like, Don was like, you mean my wife? Because I literally was the entire HR. Mm. And we had grown to maybe 50 employees at the time. And I literally was running the entire HR. I was IT. I was everything.
Oh, wow.
And so people always felt like we had this big board of directors. And we would laugh because we would be like, yeah, Christy and Don, the board of directors, you know? And so it's just God really planting in our hearts his vision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it wasn't easy. We were reluctant. We were like, my God, we don't really want to do this. This isn't something that we had desired for ourselves. But, you know, one of his pillars is obedience. You know, one of the things that he always talks about is obedience. And Oaktree is literally our obedience to God. Mm-hmm. Because if left to ourselves, we would have never done it.
Right.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oaktree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oaktree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oaktree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oaktree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oaktree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 242-32-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Elevate your event with King Group of Companies, your go-to for seamless innovation in rentals, entertainment, and digital solutions across the Bahamas. Stay frosty with Cool Runnings Ice, available at Solomon's Food Stores, Island Connect Studio, or delivered straight to your doorstep. Transform your space with Color Me Agency, stunning balloon garlands, luxe backdrops, red carpet moments, marquee light-ups, and more. Bring the fun with Retro Games 242, classic arcade games, board games, and vintage favorites for every occasion. Upgrade your bar and restaurant with our NFC digital menus, seamless ordering at your fingertips. Capture every memory with our photo booth rentals, aerial 360, magazine booth, and floor 360 experiences that make every celebration unforgettable. King Group of Companies, where creativity meets innovation. Follow us on social media or contact us at 804-5262 today to bring your vision to life.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
You know, it's interesting. It's a very good segue into our next question. You know, you mentioned you were IT and HR and finance and the whole bit. You know, from that side of the business, administration, operations, all that, what were some of the biggest challenges that you guys faced in bringing this vision to life? Because that's a lot. Obviously, you started with one location, but even having grown to having five locations across New Providence, like, I imagine that's been quite the journey.
I think the challenge has been it's just he and I. Mm-hmm. And so resources have been a challenge in terms of having to do everything ourselves. We don't have shareholders, we don't have stock, we don't have any of that stuff.
Right.
And so the burden has been on us alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so having to sometimes leverage our own personal finances to pour into the business,
mm-hmm.
sometimes not having the same options and things that a larger company may have access to,
right.
because we just can't afford to get the things that they have. And so competing with people that have so much and having to still perform at a high level, you know what I mean? So those were some of the challenges. And then, you know, medicine in general, some of the human resources issues, there's a limited supply of certain technical positions,
right.
you know, radiologists, all of these different, there's only so many of them. And so having to compete at these high prices
mm-hmm.
for just a small little company was a challenge at first.
Right.
And so there have been a number of things, but God,
mm.
you know what I mean? And so he has said to us on a number of times, don't worry about the textbook way. Stick with me and I'm going to take you places. Don't worry about doing it the way that you've learned in school. And for me, that has been a challenge because I am a stickler. I am the details. Let's get this plan together. And so he'd come to me with a decision. And I'd be like, but that don't make no sense. I'm an economist by nature. I analyze. I sit and I look at how it's going to affect this. And so I think things through.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes wanting to do these things. And I'm like, but hey, that don't even make sense according to any kind of economic business, like game theory, anything. Like, what are we even doing right now? That. And so I've had to really allow him the leeway to be the visionary.
Mm.
I've had to really put aside my intelligence and intellect sometimes and say, okay, we can just roll over the Lord say.
It's so funny how that works because there was a similar conversation that we spoke with our the first couple that we did for Couples in Purpose, Kenston and Dr. Tira Davis Henderson, and this dynamic of the visionary and then the analytical person. As interesting as now it seems like as we go through this, and even thinking of some of the couples we have on deck to continue our conversation with, there seems to be there's always that kind of
there's dynamic. A pattern.
There's a pattern. Yeah. You have one person that's this visionary, and they're like they're here.
Yes. Right?
They're pie in the sky. Sometimes it seems like, and then you have the other part. The other partner is. Okay, so this is the plan, this is the details.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how that dynamic works, especially when you know, everyone that we have plans to talk to, there's faith at the center of every relationship, every dynamic, every business.
Yeah.
And so I think that's always the connecting part is God is at the center of it all, and that's what makes it work. And that's what takes, like you said, you put your intellectual side down, and then for the visionary, because that's where the vision is coming from, right? Yeah.
And so I love it when she sort of just makes it so plain and straight. But for me, she mentioned the pillars. Everyone knows me. They know my five pillars, but we try to live by faith. It all starts with faith. The righteous lives by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Vision, obedience, sacrifice, and discipline. And so to put it all in perspective, but God.
Mm-hmm.
How this happened, but God. This house that we're staying right in right now, this is where it started actually.
Mm-hmm.
The person, like I say, this place was already for sale. It was already under contract. Mm-hmm. This was the house she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ended up happening was I came by one day and I saw the under contract sort of removed. And so we immediately contacted the persons and we got something immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But the owners of this particular house were actually shareholders at the Christian bookstore, which has been up for sale for years
mm-hmm.
at a very, very high price. But literally when we were leaving, I came here, the wife and myself, and our little baby at the time. And when we were walking out, the lady said, "Hey, the Lord said to ask me if you wanted this place," as in what it's known to be the Christian bookstore. And I was sort of familiar with it, but it was run down, but it was an ideal spot. But what was really sticking out to me was the price. And I said, "Boy, I know we ain't got that money."
We have never had the money for anything. Like, let's just we have never had the money for anything that the Lord has asked us to do. Let's stick that right there. Continue.
And so they literally halved the price.
Wow.
The asking price.
Wild.
And so because of that, we were able to go to the bank.
We still didn't have the half, by the way.
Yeah. But we were able to go to the bank and be able to essentially get a mortgage, so to speak. And so the bottom line is, I tell people, man's growth is linear, God's growth is exponential.
Mm-hmm.
And the key thing in all of this is obedience.
And for the wives like me, I would say, strap in if you have a visionary.
Yeah.
I have been stretched beyond stretching. I'm not gonna lie. I am the responsible. I am the reliable, the sturdy. We have this money in the bank before. I don't do credit cards. I don't, you know, I'm the one that says, I don't want to owe any debt. I don't want to. And I have been with a man who's like, oh, let's jump off the side of the bridge. You don't know if we're going to land anywhere. We're just going to jump off and see what happens. And so it has literally been a fine balancing act between his philosophy and mine. And so sometimes he has seen the wisdom in my philosophy, and sometimes I've realized, okay, come out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just finding that sweet balance of...
Yeah, it's all about balance.
Yes, it's finding that sweet balance of, let's use wisdom, but let's also not put God in the box.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, one of the things, like I said, things got so tight sometimes where I literally had to borrow against my life insurance to help pay bills.
We have walked through some things, I'm not gonna lie. We were not able to make salaries early in the business. And, you know, you get to a space where you're like, is this really God? Like, are we really doing the right thing? How are we in this position if this is what he said? You know, and so sometimes you get into that mental place where you're concerned about, are you really hearing from God?
Right.
You know, and so I would encourage people to press past that, you know, because he didn't promise it was going to be an easy journey. Even when, you know, the Israelites had that journey from the wilderness into the promised land, they had to fight. They fought. It wasn't like, hey, here's this free land, just come and occupy. It was, you now have to take it. Yes. And so there's an element of, you know, work that has to happen. There's an element of trust. There's an element of, you're going to have to do your part of it. And through that process, you're stretched. Through that process, you're building and trusting and getting more intimate with God.
And I think I truly appreciate what you guys are doing to give us this platform to tell our story.
Yeah.
Because we remember, because Oak Tree was growing so much, they were saying, oh, they were backed by this entity. Oh, they were backed by that entity. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to say is, if you guys knew God, you would know that's our true source.
Yeah.
You would know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
And so we are happy for this platform to say, hey, if you know God, he can do any and everything through you.
And trust me, it was not always a pretty journey. It was not always an easy journey. It was, you know, I tell people all the time, even to this day, if I'm going to be transparent and open, I don't have a college fund for my kids. You know, we've given loads of money out, but I don't have a college fund for my kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're literally walking this thing by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I give, I'm not worried about my kids because I know that, you know, he's not going to leave my children out
in
the cold. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. And so sometimes our giving is going to be sacrificial. Sometimes it's going to be despite us having it all together. You know what I mean? And that has been, I think, one of the major things that I've learned, because I've always been the type of person that wants to be responsible and prepare and to, you know, do things in a certain manner. And so God has had to say, listen, trust me. Daily. Trust me.
Actually very sacrificial, because when we first started out our quote unquote major giving, this is for to the youth program a couple of years back, that's to Mr. Henfieldos, Marvin Henfieldos. I told the wife, literally, the Lord said, hey, this was like my Abraham Isaac type moment where he said, you're going to serve me or Mammoth. And so we literally had like close to like $200,000 on the account.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally gave it all away.
All.
Yeah.
And so he came to me and he said it. And I was like, I'm like, let's check again. Let's go back.
And then the same thing with the Karifta, the 50th Karifta game. We did not have the money, but He spoke to me and said, hey, you have to show this nation what we were built on. We were built on Christian values.
Yeah.
And so even though I didn't have it, it was such a scene where the youths of the nation needed to know, hey, this was built on faith and Christian values and sacrifice. So we pledged, that's $250,000, which I didn't have at the time either.
Actually, it was $300,000 again.
What else, $300,000?
I remember.
Okay.
And so, honestly, looking back, I feel like it was not just for Karifta or the other donation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I was able to analyze the entire thing, it was really for us. You know, and it was a test. Mm-hmm. It was a test of God saying, listen, are you willing to give me everything if I ask you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing?
Right.
Do you believe that if you give this to me, I can give you 100 times more than that?
Yeah.
You know? And so it was literally us believing and trusting in God.
Yeah.
And I think the last test, last major test was the one that we did, the Tamil Christian Elementary School.
Oof.
Where if you had told me the amount that we had ultimately spent, if you had told me that from the beginning, I wouldn't have.
And listen, so my husband has learned me so well. He has never, since the last $300,000, showed me what the bills are. I stay in my secret corner and pretend like I don't even know that we're spending money. And we just do what needs to be done. And so I have come out of the financial conversations because I just, let me just do my job, right. You know? And so he handles the finances now and he doesn't tell me how much he spent. And so when he said the amount at the award ceremony, mm-hmm. I was like, what? Yeah. I was surprised at that amount.
Yeah, that was
8 years
old.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So that was a total of $1.7 million.
Yeah.
And so for me, we are constantly reminded of Psalm 24: the earth is the Lord and the fullness of
honestly.
And so we don't cling to things because it is never ours to cling to. We are just asked to be good stewards and take dominion of where we're at.
Yes.
And so we want to be used as Christ ambassadors to say, hey, he can do it for me. He can do it for you as well. But the thing is, people, they want to be in this world, but we are not of this world.
Yeah.
Right. That is such a good walk through the practicality of what it's like to be in a marriage that is surrendered to God, in to head up a business that is surrendered to God, and what that looks like practically, you know, having those moments where God tests you.
Yeah.
And in that, he's creating a heart in you, a servant's heart in you, where now it's all tethered together. You know, even it seems the business is a part of this threefold cord that is your union. And it's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, I want to add there too, though, because it's like, you know, I think what's helpful about that particular conversation is people will so often say favor isn't fair, and they leave it there. But I think hearing a practical kind of walkthrough of what that looks like, right? Obedience is where you get into that concept of favor being, you know, not being fair, because you're listening, you're hearing, you're sacrificing, and then you're sacrificing not with an expectation. Right? You're not saying, I'm only doing this because I know it's going to come back. You're doing it not knowing what's going to happen. Right? And then, so I think that's very helpful for our listeners as well, because we will sometimes say these Christian phrases, these faith phrases, and there's like, okay, what does that look like in practical life? And I think that's very helpful to hear you kind of walk through your story. It helps to bring that into a practical view of what that looks like.
And I always say there's a difference between favor and favoritism. Favor is of God. Favoritism is mine.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes you have to be okay with the fact that maybe it will never come back. Right. You know, we may never get 300,000 back, and that's still okay because it's not about the 300,000. It's about, you know, being a pleasure to God, the one we serve. It's about being at the end of your journey and being able to say, I did what he asked me to do, and I'm okay with that.
Well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Exactly.
And I think there's some things money just cannot buy. To be able to bask in his presence.
The joy.
There's no feeling like it. And you have to do these things. You have to be a cheerful giver. And like you say, we don't want nothing in return, because the grace and mercy that he has shown us, both of us, from our background to now, it is only God, and we could never repay him.
And the blessings, you know, I think people get confused sometimes, because the blessing isn't only financial. We have been blessed in so many different areas, in our friendships, having four beautiful kids. You know, there was a period in time, let's bring this in, there was a period in time where we didn't think we could have kids. We were trying and it wasn't happening. We were 5 years into the marriage, and you know, everybody's like, hey, y'all been married, like, what y'all doing? You know, they start to ask, and they're like, y'all been married so long, what happened with the kids? So there was a point in time where we had this pressure, like, oh my God, are we gonna have kids? You know, and so just walking through that journey and then being blessed with four kids, you know, we're grateful for that. And so there are so many things that God has done for us that doesn't involve money.
Yeah, and our village.
Our relationship alone, you know, we joke around, we're aligned on almost every single major issue. There's really nothing that we fight about, you know? And so a blessing in our marriage to be so perfectly aligned that there's peace and unity and harmony and we actually enjoy each other, that's a blessing. And so for us, his blessings have been so abundant. I mean, why would we not be obedient? Why would we not, you know, do what he asked us to do? He's done so much for us.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Elevate your event with King Group of Companies, your go-to for seamless innovation in rentals, entertainment, and digital solutions across the Bahamas. Stay frosty with Cool Runnings Ice, available at Solomon's Food Stores, Island Connect Studio, or delivered straight to your doorstep. Transform your space with Color Me Agency, stunning balloon garlands, luxe backdrops, LED carpet moments, marquee light-ups, and more. Bring the fun with Retro Games 242, classic arcade games, board games, and vintage favorites for every occasion. Upgrade your bar and restaurant with our NFC digital menus, seamless ordering at your fingertips. Capture every memory with our photo booth rentals, aerial 360, magazine booth, and floor 360 experiences that make every celebration unforgettable. King Group of Companies, where creativity meets innovation. Follow us on social media or contact us at 804-5262 today to bring your vision to life.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
Right. And so you brought up your lovely children and the family and the bond that you two share as husband and wife, you know, outside of working together. So how do you guys stay connected as husband and wife? Like, how do you, it's so much things going on. You're busy, there's the children, there's ministry, there's multiple locations. How do you find time? How do you stay connected and aligned when you have different personalities and so much going on?
Whew. Now, it was a journey, honestly. We didn't have it together at first. It was frustrating. But the Lord has walked us through the process. Mm-hmm. And so what we have found works is we have a schedule. We have a family schedule. This is where me and this organization come in. And so what we have done is we have literally scheduled time for everybody in our schedule. Mm-hmm. So I have date nights 1 week with the kids. He has date nights 1 week with the kids. We have couples date nights every Friday. I have date nights with my grandfather on Thursdays, date nights with my mom on Saturdays. And so literally we have built out our schedule to ensure that we are able to give everybody the time that they need.
And dates with my parents as well.
Right, dates with his mom and everybody on Sunday. And so literally we are regimented in our schedule. And it really has made a difference in terms of our ability to give everybody what they need. And so nobody is like, oh, you don't spend enough time with me. Oh, you don't. And so because everybody has that expectation that, okay, my day is this day. And so it's taken the pressure off in terms of my mom wanting this, or my dad, or his family, and so everybody has their set time. The kids look forward to their dates. They have their time, and we have our time. And so it's really, really made a huge difference in how everything flows. It's organized. Everybody knows what to look forward to, and we're doing really great with that.
So, like I say, the challenge was definitely for me as well. I work in a very, very demanding profession. And so, literally, like you said, God literally walked us through this. And it was a situation where I tell my colleagues time and time again now, what is it? We heard say, what is it? A man to gain the entire world and lose his soul. But what is it for a husband, a father, to lose, to gain all the money in the world, but lose his family? And so for me, I never wanted to become an ATM husband, nor ATM father, where it was just transactional. For me, it was always relationship mattered. And so saying it is one thing, but putting it into practicality was the key thing. And so what I did was I realized you have to work with your strengths. And so I'm an early riser. My grandfather always said, son don't make man in the bed. And so I took that to heart. And so I said, how do I find a way? Because it's only 24 hours in a day. How do I find a way to juggle all of these priorities with my family, actually my faith being the first one and my family being the second? And so what I did was I started waking up extra early in the morning, 4 o'clock or sometimes, to try to do what I have to do from an administrative standpoint. I'm essentially, when I see people walking into the door 8 o'clock in the morning, that's already half of my day already went by. And so this timing was important because this time didn't take away from my family. And so for me, and this is where she helped me in terms of being intentional. So, hey, Monday we have our daytime date. Friday we have our date night. And so you have to put it in there.
Yeah.
And apart from that, that's from us. And then what happened was with the children.
Yeah.
I felt as though it was very important to have some level of interaction with them. Not some.
One-on-one.
Everyday interaction with them. And so I told Christy, because like I say, like a year or so, she ran into some serious health challenges where I essentially took on the burden of dropping them off of school and picking them up. Initially, it was hard. But when it was her turn to start dropping them back in the morning, and then I started doing pickups in the afternoon again, it was a pretty hard one because those dropping off and picking up, so much things happen, so much emotional connection happen during that time. And so it's why you have to make time for the people who you think are important in your life. And so for me, that's what I essentially did. And so everyone know in the office, by 2:30 or so, I don't care what's going on, I'm gone because I have to pick up my children.
And so it was a boundary as well, because if he didn't have the picking up kids, it could easily extend beyond that time.
Right.
And so you have to be wise in the way that you set things up as well. You know what I mean? You use wisdom to say, if we set this hard boundary, then it's, you almost assure your success, because I have to pick these kids up. I'm never going to extend beyond that because my kids are that valuable to me, you know? And so these were not things that happened overnight. Let's be real about it. The early part of our marriage, we battled a lot. My love language is quality time. And so there were many years where, you know, I had to really take a back seat to his career. And that was hard. You know what I mean? It was hard for me. Because for somebody that's a helpmate and supporting someone, sometimes you get to that space where you feel like, but what about what I wanted to do? What about the things that I had for my life? What about my dreams? And we've had conversations like that, you know, in full transparency. And so it's just a matter of the other person feeling loved and valued. And so he assured me, he affirmed me, and, you know, we were able to get to a space where some of the things that I've wanted to do, we're now able to do. But it didn't happen right away. And so my encouragement to wives that are supporting husbands, your time is going to come, but you just have to be okay with, you know, giving your husband what he needs at the time.
And
that's sacrificial. That's submission. That's, you know, not making it about you. It was hard. And the Lord literally walked me through some of those days. Because, you know, I joke around all the time, and I tell people, I don't even know what it is to ride in the car with my husband. We would go to events, it would be me and the kids, and he would have to meet us there. And so just simply riding in the vehicle with him now is like, wow, we are family, we're riding in the same car. Like, what are we doing, you know? And so people see the journey, but they don't understand some of the things that I've had to walk through, some of the things that he's had to walk through. It has been tough, you know what I mean? And some people take for granted what they have. To be able to ride in the car in the morning and then ride in the same car in the evening, that's not something that we do.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
And so when we are on the weekends and we could come to church in the same car, we're like excited, like, oh, daddy riding with us today, yay! Because I drop off in the morning alone and he picks up in the evening alone. We don't have the luxury of both of us being in the same car.
Right, for drop off.
That's how our life is set up, you know? And so people, you know, sometimes would say, oh, y'all got it all together. We don't. There's a lot that we've had to give up to make this thing work and to be able to do all these things that God is asking us to do, you know?
And she would always throw in my face, so to speak. there was a time I was working in the emergency room at Doctor's Hospital.
Oh, I know what he goes.
And she was saying, hey, babes, can you give this up, et cetera, et cetera. But it was only after our first child was born,
Kaylee,
I quit almost immediately.
So I'm but, like, oh, okay. But, so you don't love me, you love the kid.
But
all right.
I did it to support her.
All right, sure.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, I have one question. How do you prioritize so much of this? The background thing that we haven't said, this relies on open communication. So you could slot out these times. You can be available, but you could be in the same room and not speak the same language.
Yeah.
So was it just happenstance that you guys are aligned?
No.
Or how does the communication continue to flow so that this, because this is an organized machine, so that this machine can keep churning and going smoothly.
So I would start off by saying communication was one of our biggest concerns and issues.
Challenges.
And so for me, I think she's learned to love me through my lack of communication or my miscommunication. And so because of that, she sort of trained me to say, hey, this is what we need to say. This is what we really need to discuss. And I'm a work in progress.
Yes.
And I'll let her take it
from there. He's made a lot of progress, honestly. At first, I used to look at him and be like, what? Like, I was so confused about his communication style. I was so confused about, you know, the way he thought about things. Like, we were so different in terms of everything communication.
Mm.
And so we've had to learn each other. We've had to, you know, when I know Alexis jokes about this all the time, when he sends a sticker in here, and we're like, what does that even mean? And so I've even learned what the stickers mean.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when he sends that sticker, I know, oh, okay, I understand what he's saying.
It's still coming along.
Right. And so it takes time, it takes investment, it takes patience, it takes love, and it also takes humility.
Mm.
We have both had to put pride aside a lot of the time to be open to constructive criticism about ourselves. And that's not an easy thing. No one wants to hear a bad thing about themselves. And, you know, initially in the marriage, it was tough because, you know, you're young, you think you know it all, you got it all together. And I've had to say to him, you don't have it all together. And he's had to say to me, you don't have it all together. And so I think we've gotten to a strong enough love foundation where that doesn't shatter us.
Mm.
You know, you can receive criticism from someone that you know and actually loves you, actually has your best interest, actually has shown you that regardless of it all, I'm here, I'm your ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
And so the criticism has become easier as we have established the fact that, hey, this is genuine, this is love, we ain't going nowhere.
What she's saying in a nutshell is we are being each other's accountability partners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because if she can't tell me if I'm doing something wrong, who can?
What is the point?
Yeah.
The most intimate person in your space should be able to tell you, hey, there's a speck in your eye.
Right.
While at the same time acknowledging there may be a log in theirs.
Right.
And it's okay. And we're going to simultaneously work on the speck and the log at the same time.
Yeah.
And give each other space and room for that because it doesn't happen overnight. So I've had to be patient with him to get to this space where he actually communicates. You know, sometimes he would go off. He's literally a way out the box person. He wants to go and do his own thing, no accountability, no checking in, no. And at first in America, I was like, bro, like, if you're supposed to come home at 4 and you don't, like, a simple call to tell me, hey, I'm running a bit late. And so he's not used to having to do that. He literally kind of ran the streets from when he was a kid, you know, no check-ins, no accountability, no anything. And so now coming into a marriage where there's another person who's expecting your arrival, it was a hard thing for him to say, oh, I have to come into this box now. I have to be accountable to this person now. I gotta worry about how I'm spending this money now. I gotta submit to this person. And so we battled with that at the beginning. And so at first, I think he used to be resentful, like, but I just want to go do my own thing. And I'm like, okay, let me show you how doing your own thing feels.
Works out.
So I would go out and I would not call. And then he would call and be like, where are you? I'm like, oh, so you understand. And so he would be like, ah, okay. And so not, see, because I'm the reliable one. I'm always where I say I'm going to be. I'm always the one that communicates. I'm always the one that says, hey, babe, I'm going to go. Whatever. And so when I started to not do that, I think he understood this is how it feels to a person when you can't know or understand. And so it was little things like that we've had to do, not in a malicious way, but in a example kind of way to show the person, hey, this is how it feels when you don't do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, this has been a very interesting and amazing conversation. I think we've tapped into a lot of unknown and unheard parts of your story, which I think will be very helpful for our listeners. I think one of the things that, you know, I guess jump out to me as we wrap up as an important question, you know, legacy is a very important thing, what you leave behind. You know, you've built a business, you've built a family, you've built a marriage, you've built a community. You know, what does legacy mean for you? What are you most I guess not necessarily concerned with, but what do you, when you say, okay, when I leave this earth, what do I want people to remember us as a couple for, Oaktree as a business for, or my kids, what I want my kids to remember? Like, what do you want that to be? What do you want your legacy to be?
I think I'm going to go with the five pillars on this one. I think I'm going to want my legacy to be that we have exemplified and shown people that the five pillars can actually lead to success no matter which arena that you use them in. You know what I mean? I want my children to be able to look back and say, Mom and Dad served God first, and this led to every other success that they had. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We put the kingdom of God first, and then everything else was added to us.
Yeah.
I want that to be my legacy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. And so she mentioned the five pillars, and I'll repeat it again. Faith, vision, obedience, sacrifice, and discipline. And so for our children, the legacy that we're building, that firm foundation based on Christ,
mm-hmm.
it is not just meant to be consumed, but to be built upon.
Yeah.
And so we're building up our children, to build up the church, to build up our community,
mm-hmm.
to build up this country, and ultimately for Christ. And so for us, we want to hear at the end of the day, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
And for our children, the only thing we want is for them to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who are the sound of our voice, that's the only thing that truly matters in this short period of time. Life is but a vapor.
Okay.
We are just here, specks in the grand scheme of things. And so, like she said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you. And so let's bask in his presence and give him all the honor, glory, and praise.
Yeah.
And that will be our closing thing you probably want to say.
Okay. Awesome. I don't know what else to say. I think this is an excellent, amazing conversation. I think great advice for our listeners. Awesome insight into your story. And I want to thank you both for taking time out of what is obviously a busy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, we're not interrupting any scheduled dates or time.
Yes.
But thank you both for taking time out to you know, have this conversation with us, to kind of share a bit more of your story with our listeners. And, you know, hopefully for those who are listening, you know, you've learned something. It's something you can apply. It's something you can, you know, consider as you look at if you're going into business together as a couple, or even just as you navigate life and work and work-life balance and all of those things. I think there's a lot of nuggets in here that people can take away and kind of go with and learn from. So thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So thank you again for joining us each week on Vital Voices for the nation's most vital conversations where insight meets impact. We're so grateful to Dr. Dawn and Christina DeVoe for sharing their story with us today, and we hope their journey encouraged you as much as it did us. If today's conversation encouraged you, challenged you, or reminded you of the power of purpose and partnership, we hope you'll share it with someone you care about. On behalf of myself and my awesome co-host, Dr. Paige Burrows, until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oaktree Medical Center and King Group of Companies, including Cool Runnings Ice, Color Me Agency, and Retro Games 242.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.